Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the Dom and Colin podcast for some more coverage of the Challenge 37 Spies, Lies, and Allies. Probably, possibly, potentially the last time that we will be talking about season 37 in this manner for the time being. It is very confusing. It's a very fluid situation, I would say. And of course, the Challenge All-Stars 2. Of course, I am not alone. I am Matt alongside my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how you doing?
Hello, hello. I am good. I feel so honored to have been invited to the viewing of Tasha's wedding. So I feel great, personally.
Is she marrying TJ?
I mean, I guess it would be TJ, but I just feel like that was firmly a wedding dress that she wore to the reunion.
I mean, she looked great. If we want to cut
phenomenal.
Ahead, right, want to cut right to fashion. She was like one of my five notes. I was like, let me take notes on fashion. And then I was like, wait, actually, I don't have much here. I feel like Casey always looks good in a suit. So I noted that. And then did you listen to the Challenge podcast? Tori was talking about how they were supposed to wear like gold, silver, and bronze for the finalists. And only Tori and Emmy really like followed through with that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, funny. And I'll give her props. I think Tori looked really good. I feel like almost this whole cast actually looked really good. I feel like usually there's a few clunkers and not that many that I noticed, if anything.
Well, it's funny because she was like, I think Josh is the best dressed. And I was like, he's like the one person I thought was like the worst. But also, I don't know anything about fashion. So maybe that's like some new, you know, suit look that I'm just not caught up on.
I thought it was fine. I didn't think it stood out to me.
Yeah. So there's the fashion segment. We got it right in the beginning here. Before we get into the Challenge 37, we're going to do something we already did once this season and make time for the Cam and Leroy corner.
Oh, very exciting. See, better than the reunion, even, I might say.
Got to lead with the good stuff.
Exactly. Can't bury the lead. Cam and Leroy are pregnant.
Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, as we've talked about off air, I really did kind of hold out hope that we might see Cam next season. You were not as hopeful, especially with everything with Leroy that had been, you know, going on a couple of weeks ago when he had spoken out about his past experiences with the Challenge and whatnot. But I don't know, just I have been missing Cam and I was happy to. Or I was hoping to have her back, but obviously this is such a big blessing for them and, you know, could not be happier for the two best people on earth.
Mm-hmm. So, so happy. Usually, like, you know, I am happy enough, but like sad when we're losing people to like them starting a family.
Exactly.
From
it's
the
like
challenge.
It's so sad, but so happy. But I'm like, I'm going to be selfish and just say I'm a little upset.
I think that for me, it is because I did not expect Cam back in the near future. I did not think that we would go from like Leroy speaking out on his time on the Challenge and the disappointments that came with that to Cam being on next season, not by MTV's decision, but I thought Cam might sit at least one more out. So I didn't really expect her next season. And she's also talked about how she like wanted to build up her business to a point where it would be fine without her to go before she goes back on the show. So I was just like pure happy. I hope to see Cam again in the future, obviously, but like two of my faves, I'm just, you know, they worked out.
So she had recently did a something on Instagram where somebody was like asking her, so like, are you retired from the Challenge too? And she's like, yeah, I don't know why people keep thinking that just because Leroy retired. I never said I was. And she answered that recently, which, you know, is while she knew she was pregnant. So that like gives me, you know, hope. It's not like I saw, you know, she's having a child and thought she's going to be done forever. I mean, look at Amanda, just came back a season or two after the time frame when she had her child. But just, you know, happy that in very recent times, Cam has made specific comments saying, I'm not done. So excited to have her back whenever the time is there. And we'll get to it with All Stars too. But I feel like I've found somebody who is giving me similar content to what I look for in a character like Cam. So teaser.
Oh,
teaser.
That is quite the teaser. I am very excited to find out personally.
And then watch me both forget.
100% forgetting.
So tweet at me, everybody, when we do forget, and I'll let you know what I was talking about. But so that's outside of the Challenge itself here. News. Anything else? Probably not. Before we get to this reunion that you don't seem the most excited about.
No, definitely not the most excited. And I can't think of anything explicitly outside of the show that needs to
Just
come up now.
so confusing trying to figure out if this was a 1 hour, 2 hour,
Oh
3 hour,
my
5 hour,
God.
like a two part, one part, because the past couple seasons have all been two part reunions, and this one was obviously supposed to be as well, because Maria Menounos. Oh, I can't say this last name.
Well, let's go.
I said this a million times in my head, and I've read it a million times, but nope. Maria.
Maria Menounos.
Yeah.
You got it. It's fine. Maria Menounos.
Okay.
Very well known.
She said it was a two-part reunion, and obviously it was not two parts. When we watched it all play out, it was 2 hours total, and then on the TV block of time, it was 1 hour extra that they played an All-Stars episode. So well, I don't know why they have to be so confusing, but at the end of the day, I will say that I'm happy that they did it all at once, and we don't have to do half a boring reunion here and then half a boring reunion next week. You know, I'm happy to close the book here, especially leave it in 2021 and move forward.
Yeah, I'm happy we had all 2 hours of boring reunion all on the first night.
I didn't think it was all bad. I know you sound really down on it. I thought there was some good stuff.
Okay. Here's my question. Do we need reunions anymore?
Oh, stop. Yes, we do.
Do we?
100% we do. Like, that's the hardest I've ever, if you're saying that we don't, the hardest I've ever disagreed with you. We need the reunion.
So maybe, I think it might have just been this season dependent. And I think that even the network realizes it, putting it all on one night where they have milked it even into three in the past. I just feel like every single thing has been talked to death here. It was, whether it be on the show, on social media, on the official podcast, where we've spoken about it. I feel like, especially some of the stuff that you may want to hear about, like obviously they were never going to talk about the circumstances behind Ashley leaving the show, but like that's completely ignored. You would want to hear like how Josh actually feels about that and let him speak his piece, but like nope, that's never happening. So it's just, for me, it feels like it's a lot of the same segments that we like already have gotten on the show.
And that's fair, but I feel like you just need the reunion to wrap up. There's plenty of stuff that, you know, sure, we've talked a lot about, whether on the podcast or Tori and Anissa's podcast,
yep.
Or, you know, totally fair. A lot of these conversations kind of get beat to death a little bit, but I don't know, just a lot. There's a lot, you know, some new stuff pops up on social media, just particularly the Amanda beef with like everybody on the cast. It was what I was like waiting for the reunion for, because with her and Fessy, her and Michelle, her and Tori, it was like so much stuff that had been building while watching the show that like none of that gets captured on camera. And you don't know that every single one of them are going to be on next season to talk about it then. And by sure. then, maybe they're working together. So, you know, you need to like see it when everybody's heated. And there's plenty of times where you're going to have like a Gus and Josh moment of like, this is so for the cameras that it's like not even worth my time or our time. But there's still plenty that I do take out of the reunions where I'm just like, I like to get everybody together, like Survivor too. Like, you know, people liked the format that they did and I liked it too, but I like to get everybody together after the fact, talk through things that people have been sitting on for a while. Like I am never going to want to give up a reunion. So that's just my thought.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think that, you know, a better season is going to create a better reunion and maybe switching out some of the personalities, which is like the same issue that we had on the season. But I don't know. I don't know if it's because it filmed so far back, if because like whatever the case may be, I thought that the reunion is like slightly broken, but I didn't dislike it that as much as like I'm coming across right now. Like it was fine, but like also still had some fat despite only being 2 hours.
Yeah, Scally actually just got off the phone with MTV telling them that he hated it and making sure that they will never do another reunion again. If that happens, you know who to call, contact. So really quick before we get into the people who were at the reunion, there was a good chunk of names that weren't there. That's actually, it's fully always the case that they don't have probably half of the cast at the reunion. It just kind of is like extra noticeable with all like the, if you would call it, social distancing that they do on stage with the chairs, like, you know, a couple feet apart from each other, as Fessy like scoots his way back over to, but whatever.
As people walk across the stage to hug each other.
Yeah, so it's like we get the point, but it's also like, what the hell is going on? I don't think you watched The Bachelor much this season. Did you? Did you watch
Not
Bachelor?
This season? Oh my God, just because of burnout. But yeah, okay. I plan to eventually.
At the final, whatever, they started the show, and Caitlin opens up the show. Caitlin Bristow being like, "Oh hey, welcome," and like nobody's in a mask, and that's okay. Maybe everybody's vaccinated. I don't know. And then like the next segment, everybody puts a mask on, and she's like, "So." I don't know if that was live, if they got it must have been live, because maybe people were like tweeting at them like, why is nobody in a mask? And then everybody had a mask on, and she had to say something like, oh, we're all going to be in, everybody's going to be in a mask for the rest of the show. I was like, this is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Could not explain.
Sorry to go off on a tangent, but, I don't know how I got to where I was.
We're
there,
talking about people who were not there.
The people who weren't there. I have a full list. Do you have any standouts before I read off the list of people that you were?
I mean, winner CT.
Who? No, I'm
CT, the winner who was not at the reunion, appeared only on screen.
Yes. Okay, that's a standout. So I'm not sure if I made this up or if I read it as like a comment, and now I'm taking it as fact. I saw somebody at some point saying that his wife didn't want him to go to like the after show and the reunions and all this stuff because of, you know, COVID related reasons of like, you know, wanting him to be home safe. I have no idea if that's true or not, but like that would, I guess, make sense as to why he wasn't at the after shows, also didn't go here. But I mean, she let him go film the show, but that was in a bubble, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, wasn't he at the last reunion? I don't know. I feel like it was surprising. I feel like I did hear similar. I don't remember if we heard like the reason specifically being COVID, why she didn't want him to go. But whatever the case may be, like CT loves getting out of events generally. Like I would not expect him. You know, like, he's never even shown up for like the official podcast. So like that doesn't surprise me that he would want to bail on one more.
Right. And then, as far as like the vets go, it was kind of obvious that we had already talked about Corey Wharton wasn't going to be there and Ashley wasn't going to be there. Ashley's reasons for not being there kind of became obvious as we saw her elimination, which, you know, that's, you know, I think we already kind of talked that one plenty. And then Corey not being there was possibly for a reason regarding COVID. Well, not COVID itself, but, you know, ways to prove whatever.
I mean, he said it openly on like his own tweet. Like he said specifically, they won't let me come. They're giving me the reason was that because of my vaccination status.
Right. And so that was, and that was because of the show said that, not because he couldn't get in the country, because he did go to the country.
Yes, he was there just on his, I don't know if that was on his own dime. I have to assume it was, since he did not do any appearances for MTV at the time. But yeah, it did not seem like he had an issue getting there, but did have an issue appearing on the actual show.
Yeah, well, the other people that weren't there, Lauren, obviously, Nam was barely on the show. The two first eliminees, Renan and Michaela, couldn't get his name out, Kells, Tracy, all these early boots, Tommy, Corey Lay, a little surprising because I feel like, you know, he had almost as much of an impact as Michelle did in the early game. He was, you know, he was all over the place. We'll get to Corey later.
Yeah.
With our friend Brian, had a great interaction with him on Twitter. That was fun. Anissa, the only other vet that wasn't there. So no surprise because she really wasn't super on the season, but no Anissa.
I'm kind of surprised just because I feel like they love like throwing money at Anissa. So like it maybe her appearance fee for like the reunion is also scaled, and that's why.
Possibly. And then the remaining rookies that were not there, Gabo, Jeremiah, Priscilla, Ed, and Bettina. Obviously, Priscilla stands out here as one name that you would have hoped to see there with the big move that she did, and she got a lot of credit for it on the show. But no, none of them were there in person or at all.
I was surprised by both Ed and Priscilla. I feel like they both really made their mark on the show. And like, I get that, like, what are we going to talk to them about? There's not really a whole lot. And like, why bring people when during COVID, why are you going to fly people out here, especially when there's not really a lot to even address with them? But like, Tasha was there. Michelle, realistically, like, I understand she had the after season drama, but they weren't all necessary either.
It was so wild to me when I was watching the reunion, watching like, you know, because Michelle didn't really get much until the second half, you know, maybe almost like the second half of the second half. So when, you know, all of these MTV people are going at it back and forth, this and that, all the drama. And then all of a sudden we cut to Michelle Fitzgerald and I'm like, oh my God, Michelle's in the challenge. Like
every time I'm just always like taken back. I don't feel that way even with, some like other, I don't know what's, I guess it's just Jay, really that would have shown up at a reunion, but Michelle, I always get taken out of it.
Yeah. I'm like, how'd you get there? like obviously she, you know, she won an elimination. She like earned her place, as a part of the franchise. She's not like some nobody who just went home first, or anything like that, but she definitely, surprised me every time I heard her. Like, it's just weird to like see again, these MTV people that we've, you know, gotten so used to being, you know, or watching or whatever, and then whatever. So that's that.
Well, I think it's funny because, like, Michelle was on RHAP this week, talking about the Survivor finale and was like, actually, my least favorite part of all of this is, like, being on TV. It's like, then why are you on the challenge? Like, I'm very
confused. Question it.
Like, why are you here? I'm glad you are, but I'm just very confused.
For, like, a little bit, I was like, are we talking about the challenge at all here? Because like she was on a recent season of reality TV, like on that podcast. Eventually Rob mentioned it, but I was like, I don't know. I was curious if it was going to come up at all. I feel like she did the Tori and Anissa podcast. I was going to say like, has she talked much about it? But she did that.
She did.
So everybody's going to come on out. What did you think about the segment at the beginning of just like, we're going to the reunion. What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, I like the little like entrances, but I could have done without like the flash forward. Like, I don't watch previews for a reason. Don't show me the drama before the drama happens.
I didn't dislike it. It was like, I don't know. I was trying to compare it to something on the fly and I failed miserably, but, I did kind of like that. And then I went to go like rewatch the episode on MTV's website and it wasn't even there. So I don't know, what to make of that, but yeah, everybody comes out. We got bad guy going as they're all entering, which, has been stuck in my head for the past like 24 hours. So I guess they made a good call with, the music choice, and, everybody settles down and we're going to get into the first segment, which is just talking about the final. As you mentioned, CT is not there, but Casey is. So they talk about, their win, CT's fifth win, Casey's first win, and the decision to split the money. Not a whole lot here, but you know, just joking around. Kyle, would you have split the money? He's like, of course I would have. And they're like, no, you wouldn't have. He's like, ah, ha, 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 ha.
Which there's no way Kyle does not share.
Yeah,
in my opinion. Like, I don't know if like they were knowingly joking around, but I feel like 0% chance he doesn't share.
Mm-hmm. Any like specific thoughts on CT? I guess at all, but I mean, we really didn't get much from him being there on video call. It's just kind of like you had to have him there because he won.
Yeah. No, really almost nothing. I feel like the only part that, and this is jumping like way ahead, was when they talked to him in Big T. He's like, well, I don't even know what we're talking about. I was like, why are you here?
I know. They cut to him at one point when like Tatcha and Esther were fighting and he's like, whoa, like, why do we need a CT reaction?
That I always do think that's weird when it's like you're cutting to their reactions to things that are going on in the room. Like, you use them when they're needed, and then I never need to see them again if they're on screen.
Yeah. So they were just, you know, recapping the final there. Eventually, they're going to talk about the rookies a little bit. Tori obviously having good things to say about Emmanuel. CT had some good things to say about Emmy, which, you know, no surprises here. But then we get into a little bit with the Emmy versus Berna of it all, which is, you know, kind of when I remembered that Berna was on the season.
Yeah, I feel like Berna was shaping up to be a bigger character on the show, and then kind of fell off. And I think Berna also has realized that, because... Berna had no problem popping off at the reunion a little bit.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think Nelson or a couple of them were saying like, these two like seemed like such good friends. They were like sisters out there. But then this whole situation happened and, you know, color anyone surprised that Emmy is not great at communicating. All she does is, you know, kind of scream at people and, you know, yell about how much she loves her uncle CT. So, I personally would never, expect that I could sit down and have, you know, a genuine conversation with Emmy about, maybe I'm being too harsh on her. But just like the way that Berna was like expecting so much from Emmy with an apology or whatever else. I was like, I don't know. This is just, she's a fun, loving person that's just living her life. I don't really know that, there's a whole lot of like, you know, resolution that can happen here, but again, maybe I'm being too harsh on Emmy.
I mean, I would say, like, I think Emmy's capable of having, like, a mature, like, a conversation. Whether I expect that to, like, follow through, I don't know. Emmy's young. Emmy is very interesting casting, like, regardless of what I even, like, expected from her coming into the season. But, yeah, I don't think that, like, having an argument is ever going to be the way to communicate something with Emmy.
Right. And, you know, it really got them nowhere, which was made obvious pretty quickly. Emmy's just like, I'm sorry. I'm like, okay, we can move on. This isn't getting anywhere.
I feel like it was like, oh, like, we can move on. It's like, okay, fine. That's fine. Emmy, like, randomly being like, Berta always talks down to me. I was like, oh, okay. I guess this is coming out now. Yeah, I don't know. It felt like it was made more of a big deal. And it, like, if Berta shows up on next season, because I'm counting it as a lock that Emmy will be there, this will probably come up, but I wouldn't be surprised also if it just gets, like, swept under the rug at a certain point.
Yeah, I feel like Berta definitely gave them enough where she could come back, and they have a story to tell, especially if Emmy's there. But it also doesn't feel like, you know, any kind of necessary, like, any kind of, like, requirement, like, oh, this is a rookie that we have to keep moving forward with, you know.
Yeah, I feel like I always predict too many people are going to come back, but I kind of feel like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. I feel like there's so many of these rookies that feel like they're going to come back, but I feel like they gave more attention to Berta than was necessary, which makes me think that they will end up bringing her back, but, like, I don't need it at the same time.
Well, look at it like this. Anybody who was a rookie and was on stage and made it to the reunion is probably high on the list of possibly coming back, especially when you compare it to the rookies who were not in attendance whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So, Berta's already, you know, in spot 2, 3, 4, or 5.
I would write off, like, anyone that was not there, I would write off minus, like, 3 names, maybe.
For the most part.
3 or 4.
Yeah. One rookie that is, you know, still in the mix here and potentially could be back, Tatcha versus Tori is the next segment up, as we're going to see the, you know, these two apparently didn't get along great after the season, as far as we saw, you know, on the way out, that Tori was definitely called out for some shady gameplay. Tori, you know, has made many comments. Tatcha called her out, being like, yeah, I heard you on the podcast, being like, I'm trying to apologize, but she has me blocked. And Tatcha was like, you could have found another way if you wanted to apologize that bad. So, like, points were made, but at the end of all here, we get a hug and, you know, Amanda rolling her eyes, which is going to happen all night long.
And that is the exact, like, thing for me with Tori. Like, I think Tasha's 100% correct. Like, you have my number. Like, there's 10 other social medias. Like, don't lie and say that you were trying to reach out when that's not the case. I feel like Tori is, like, actually kind of conflict averse, which I don't think usually gets, like, talked about a lot, where like, people come at her and, like, she'll argue back, but, like, also kind of back down at the same time. So I am not surprised that she was not, in fact, telling the whole truth there. I did not expect this to end in, like, a series long feud either.
Yeah, Chappelle doesn't listen to us because he doesn't respect us, but I want to know what her Enneagram is.
I'm not sure if that's true, but I think he might. In, you know, we'll see if he messages.
I don't think so.
I think he might for sleeping material or something like that. But yeah, I'm not sure.
We were on a call together like 2 weeks ago, and he was like, "Is that Matt? I haven't heard your voice in like months." And I was like,
flagging it. I like the detective work.
Yeah. So I don't know if he's paying attention, but if anybody wants to ask Chappelle for us, if I forget, I want to know what Tori is. So yeah, cool. Glad we're all made up. Great. And then Amber's going to get her own giant segment here. Amber Borzocha, our champion of season 36.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amber was like much more of a standout on this season than the season that she won. So it was not surprising in the slightest that she got like a big segment here. I don't feel like we really got a ton of stuff that was particularly new, but like kind of felt like it had to be talked about.
And it was also like, the amount of time that they put on Amber, it was like, okay, if I had doubts that they wanted or were planning to bring her back again, I feel like those are gone. And if I'm being blindsided after all of this and they don't have plans to bring her back, or if she's going to be an alternate again, I just can't express how like surprised I will be with, again, all of the time that's devoted to her here. It's, you know, there's elements of this where Kara used to get this all the time of like, she's so fake, this and that. And like, you know, when you work up half the house into having such a strong opinion about you, and then we go off into this whole segment about, you know, everything that Casey's hurt and there's the big brother of it all. And Huey saying everybody in the house was talking about her except for this person and this person. It just feels like, again, there's a lot that they're grabbing onto that they might be able to use in the future.
Mm-hmm. And especially if we might be taking a season off from Ashley, I don't feel like that's confirmed, but if we are, there are not that many antagonists in the house, especially veterans to this big, like giant glob of an alliance. And I feel like Amber is one of the very few people that like causes chaos within that. So I am like surprisingly high on wanting Amber to come back. I feel like it's like a lock. Like it has to happen at this point.
Could you imagine like hearing that sentence from yourself
a year wild ago?
1 year ago, let just, alone 3 years ago?
It just absolutely, just no chance. I could not imagine. Like, I think last year would have been even more shocking, like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Just like coming out of 36, it was like, I don't care if she ever comes back. Like, that's fine. And then now out of 37, I'm like, it has to happen. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, Amber is on the next like four seasons of the challenge.
It was like a very emotional segment here. Is like, I mean, Amber got like choked up every time she started talking, and she was saying, you know, I'm from Tennessee, and people think that, you know, the politeness that I exude, like, it's just like natural to me. It's just however everybody is back home, everybody takes that as being fake. And, you know, some people were standing up for her, but then when she got into it with Casey, which was like the meat of this conversation, it was like bringing us back to this feud, I want to say, that like we've been watching between the two of them for two seasons now, of just Casey can never trust Amber. And even to this day, she's saying it. She's like, I want to trust you because I have love and I have all this for you, but like I cannot bring myself to trust you. And it's like, if she's still insisting that that is, you know, the hill she's going to die on, this being Casey, then I have to take her word for it, of just like the way that like these two seriously do not click in the game, and like in the game only, because you see them both crying about how much love they have for each other as human beings. And Casey's like, this is what I hate about the, you know, the fact that this is such a, you know, that I love this game so much, but I also love people, so I kind of want to just stop talking about this. So
yeah, it's weird. I didn't expect as much emotion out of Casey as we got in this reunion, but then I also just like, I don't know. I guess maybe like they think that Amber's like little like fickle, like she might just like change her mind and not be the most reliable. But I don't see like the giant obstacle that keeps them from working together inside of the game, despite liking each other. I feel like it should on paper work.
I think it's what you just said, you know, 3 minutes ago. It's if we're seeing any element of like an Ashley like kind of persona within Amber, of like somebody who's not afraid to just shake things up, call somebody out, whatever, if like that's where she's getting to as a challenge competitor, that's not the Casey game, and that's never going to be somebody that Casey is super comfortable with. Besides, you know, you can, I guess you can make an argument that there's people like Josh and like right by her side that are like, you know, similarly have no problem like blowing up the house or making like a big scene or whatever. But A, Casey yells at him every time she does that. And also the two of them have just a big connection that's never going to go away no matter what Josh does. She hasn't built that with Amber in the same way. And it's just, you know, there's just, as she says, a lack of trust there. So they just haven't been able to come together. And I just don't see them ever coming together at this point, unless say maybe like Josh or Fessy weren't there with Casey and Casey needed that extra, like, you know, Casey's gone into all seasons she's done so far with two guys by her side that, like, no matter what, she knows have her back.
I truly think that a part of this is, whether it be consciously or subconsciously, Amber can beat Casey and most other women on this cast cannot. So having Amber at the end is not good for Casey's game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's one of the few women on the cast that can consistently outrun her, and that is a major part of the final. I just don't think, like, she is a fine ally for the mid game, but just like an absolutely terrible one to have make it all the way to the end.
Yeah. And you know, I we've talked about this before, but I maintain, you know, hot take that that Amber winning her first season was great for her. I mean, anybody winning that is great for her, but great for whoever. But the fact that like now she has, you know, the future of her challenge career to just be messy and to just create like TV moments and like ensure her callback that way rather than being focused about winning. Like, oh my God, like what better could you ask for her? It's insane.
Well, especially because if Amber doesn't win that season, she's not back on like season
Exactly.
37. That's not, it
Right.
didn't ever happen. So, for her, like, thank God she won for herself, so she can ensure that callback now, and if through very different methods.
Right. So we move into the Pizzagate of it all from that night that Fessy got sent home, and Corey's going to join to talk about this because Corey and Tori got, pretty much all the blame for this, which, makes sense because they did a lot of the instigating here. And I don't know. What did you think of this whole segment? Anything
They
stand
just
out?
didn't care. Like, they're like, we're gonna reveal who really did it, who
I
really ate
know.
the pizza. I was like, I don't care. It could
Was it
literally,
Nelson?
there's not a
Berman?
single
Huey?
name on this cast that would make me care more about this pizza.
It was really just jokes and laughs that they, were going for there. And Tori was like, no, it was Priscilla. Like, okay. So this was just them, I guess, having fun with it after it obviously had led to such a tense moment in the house, sending Fessy home. More of the same from Fessy of him, kind of taking accountability for it, which is whatever. But just basically him buttering up the producers, being like, no, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Just make sure that I can come back next season. Is really all that I take him
I
for
mean,
there.
I don't remember where it was said, but the only thing that I still think about this is, I'll give Fessy credit because I think Josh like backed this up or something, that Josh had like thrown something at Fessy, and Fessy like downplayed that, which is potentially the only reason Josh didn't also get kicked off. I think he did take like more on the chin than he probably gets credit for on the show, at least. And so, like, at least I'll give him that.
We'll give him that for this segment. Lots more Fessy later in the episode. Also, Nani in this segment was very, very, I don't know, older sister, mom, whatever, relationship you want to assign to her here with Josh. She turned around to him like, so what did we learn from this? Like, you don't let people come plant these seeds, and then, you're reacting to things, and then you get your friend sent home, and then you're all guilty, and then you're sad, and then this. And Tori's looking at her like, bitch, what? Like, what? I think she like had a like actually said something as far as like reacting to the way that Nani was talking about her when she was like right there. But that was
Yeah, it was. And like, we gave, Berna got her like complaints about her being condescending, but I feel like from anyone else, this is wildly condescending from Nani. But like, Josh kind of needs it, and he knows that he needs it. Like, he needs to be reminded that like, you don't need to react to every little thing. And I don't think that outside of this, I don't think we saw Josh reacting to as much as, let's say, enthusiastically as he usually does, and that's what made him probably more likable this time around.
Yeah, I mean, he was relatively calm this, entire reunion. Of course, you're not going to get a reunion without him crying. He's an emotional guy, and that's been covered well. The second he starts talking about him and Fessy's friendship, and what this had, how this affected him, he was getting upset about it later on with Corey. He was getting upset about, the fact that he had betrayed him and whatever. And Corey's like, "Would you please relax? Like, it's fine. We're good." You're going to get that from Josh all the time. But yeah, at least he was kind of cooler and didn't need Nani to be, kind of big sistering him. But it's fine. We
I'm
get see
almost
go ahead.
curious. This is just like on the Josh being more likable note. I'm curious how much of it was Fessy being gone, because the first time that we've really gotten to see Josh like carry his own game, where I feel like a lot of people would have credited past seasons to him like hiding behind Casey and Fessy, and like while he still had Casey there, I think that a lot of things were framed as centering around Josh that he may have not gotten credit for otherwise. So I'm curious to see how that either stays the same or reverts back once he's back on with Fessy.
Yeah, I mean, if I had my way, I would be fine taking a season off of Fessy, and we wouldn't see that right away, but that's not my decision, and I don't feel like it's going to be the decision. So,
Spoiler alert,
speaking.
he's not one of the three people I would block from next season.
All right. We'll revisit that again if we remember, but no, I think we'll remember because that was your segment idea. Fessy gets a little bit here with CT, who is apparently still with us on the call, talking about the boxing match that Fessy wanted to set up. And it was really weird like language here as he was talking about like very in detail about like, well, CT was still filming, and then like when he got back and like I found out he won, I was like, this is just weird. I'm like, well, this is like too many details for to make it like onto air here. And it was really just Fessy embarrassing himself, talking about wanting to make money, in my
It just was
opinion.
kind of like, all right, I don't know. I feel like almost every reunion, it's like, well, it almost happened. Like Fessy versus CT, who would have won? It's like, I don't know. It depends on what the challenge is. Like, sure, boxing. I don't know. I guess Fessy, CT almost, what did he wanted to punch someone's brains in and eat them. So I might give CT the edge on boxing despite Fessy's experience.
I agree. I think that you don't get in a ring with, I was going to say Chris Tamborello, but just for dramatic effect. And then
kind of. What are you, Devin?
Yeah. You don't get in the ring with CT, sorry, and have, you know, just confidence that you're going to go knock him out. That's not something that I think is realistic in this lifetime. So probably for the best for Fessy for that not to happen for the time being. And CT got in a dig saying, you know, you had your chance in Iceland and didn't happen. So
I don't know. We'll see. I think there are plenty of things that like either of them could win, but I am hoping there's the day that we get like an actual like headbanger of the two of them.
Could happen. We are going to get a little bit here with Tori. She's going to be the star of like the next two segments. First, it's going to be her and Devin about their friendship. And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about this here with just the way that their friendship was throughout the season with some ups and downs. And then also later on, they're going to talk about her and the elimination with Devin and Emmanuel and, you know, how she regrets all that. So this is probably along the lines of what you were saying. Like, we've kind of beat this all to death, but it does get a segment here.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing new was that Tori was like, I was acting like such a child. And it's like, no, Tori, this is the like one time that you had a point. So like, don't give it. But no, whatever. I do get like, we've talked about this a million times of who was right and who was wrong. But I think the Tori and Devin dynamic will continue to be at least like kind of interesting moving forward of like any of the dynamics on the show. I actually think that this one is not entirely boring.
Let me make a comparison. Johnny and Kara. Sorry to bring up Kara for the like third time this episode, but I've called Devin Johnny, and I think Johnny's even called Devin Johnny recently. He was in that podcast with Amanda. He talked about he's like, Devin's literally wearing a Johnny Banana suit these days because like that's the spot that he's able to fill while I'm not in the picture.
Interesting. I mean, I do feel similarly about Devin and Tori that I did Bananas and Kara. I guess that works.
I mean, I think it works to the extent of like, you know, there's plenty of seasons those two were friends and you saw them all palling around just like these two are right here. And then, you know, in the future, I'm sure that Tori will make another stupid mistake. And I'm specifically saying Tori because I feel like it's constantly her. And it's going to end poorly in like two or three seasons, if not sooner. So
like, yes, Tori makes a stupid mistake or Tori does something that Devin doesn't like and Devin gets on a high horse. So exactly. Like either so, are one of the like other. Very possible.
And then throughout this entire, you know, evening, as I mentioned earlier, I believe, you know, anytime that Tori's being talked about or talking, you get cuts to Amanda because Amanda, as we've all seen and heard and read, does not like Tori. So we're going to get into it a little bit with like the whole Josh of it all, you know, about how Amanda wanted to infiltrate and was saying like, whose spot should I take? Josh didn't directly say Tori, but eventually, you know, more or less said, you know, not Casey and not Nani, which left Tori as the answer. But then this gets a little messy because then as Amanda and Tori started to get into it a little bit, Josh starts to chime in being like, well, Tori has a point or something like that. Like, she's not completely wrong. And that obviously is not going to sit well with Amanda being like, are you really defending her? Like, she came after your team in that challenge because of something that I did. You're saying that it's my fault. I infiltrated the team, which I do agree with Amanda about this particular point. Like, it's a weird, strange spot for Josh to defend her, saying like, no, like, it's your fault, Amanda, because she came for me. It's like, no, she took it out on you because of something she was mad at me about.
I love Amanda even being like, well, Josh, you could have told me to infiltrate Sapphire, and like, I would have done that. And he's like, no, you wouldn't have. But like, Amanda has convinced herself that like, this is actually not her fault. It was like, this was good for me. We're actually getting some like new perspective. I don't feel like we actually got to hear Amanda's outside of her like just being resigned to it. So I enjoyed that part at least.
Yeah, so this is where we get into, I guess, the meat of the Amanda and Tori. You know, we get a little bit farther into like, okay, so you two obviously don't like each other. And Tori's like, no, it's not me. Like, Amanda doesn't like me. I have not really understood why, but that's fine. She doesn't have to like me. And we even like talk about the elimination a little bit because obviously, you know, we got the Amanda backpack of it all there. So, you know, when it finally got to a head-to-head situation in the arena, it's not CT and Fessy, but, you know, Tori dominated there and, you know, checkmate on Tori, on Tori's end. But as far as like this relationship goes, and, you know, there is none. Amanda doesn't like Tori. She talks about it, you know, plenty, both on and off the show, saying she thinks that she's just fake. She thinks that she's, you know, always different with everybody that she's competing with or competing against. She changes her friends. She changes her relationships with, like, low blow. Just, you know, these two are not going to be able to come to a conclusion, because it's just who Tori is as a person that Amanda does not appreciate. And that's not something that Tori can change about herself. So,
I mean, here's the thing. I don't disagree with what Amanda's saying at all. I do think Tori very much changes up her allegiances, but like, kind of you could say the same thing about her best friend, Ashley, who came in and like, oh my God, me and Cara and Polly are like such good friends and we're all working together. It's like, what is going on? And then the next season, like, she's like against Cam and like others. It's like, so I don't think that it is specific to Tori. I think that she doesn't like Tori and she is coming up with a million reasons why that is. It's fine to not like people. Not everyone has to be friends. And like, you don't even need a strong reason.
But
I did agree also then when Amanda's like, and every single season we're on, Tori's like, what seasons have we been on together? So like, that's where Amanda lost me a little bit, where I think she is just like trying to find reasons where like, you don't need them. Just say, I don't like you. I find you annoying. And that's it. Move on.
Well, that's exactly it though. But then like like it seemed like the audience or Maria was like kind of pressuring them to be like, so like, what exactly is it? And
yeah,
that
fair.
Just like forced her to kind of give answers. But I mean, she also bounced right back onto Tori with, we haven't been on seasons together. Oh no, we have, but you just were barely on it because I did better than you on that one, even though I'm not a good competitors, you know, according to you.
Like, so, I mean, you know. Okay, let's trade Derek and Zach and see who lasts longer. Like, sorry.
Not the point.
I mean, it kind of is the point.
Amanda was thriving that season until, well, I mean, she was thriving all the way to the last minute because she didn't let Zach walk all over.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Amanda's bad, and I'm not saying Tori is, like, leagues above her, but, like, I don't know. On a partnered season, sure. Sure,
you're so... zero wins between the two of them, so at the
that
end of the day,
is very much the case.
And you know what, it is what it is. I don't know. So you know, not much resolution there. And then we get a backstage clip after coming back from that commercial break of Amanda kind of going into Josh a little bit more, because you know, Josh defending Tori there did not sit well with her. So that's that, and who knows where their friendship stands today, but I don't know. Next segment is all about the hookups.
Oh, yeah. We had flagged this up a lot. Just many, many more hookups this season than others, whether that be because they chose to show them or because they were actually happening. Sounds like because they were actually happening. So, you know what? I'm glad that MTV is seeing this as a positive or something that they need to bring up, because I feel like it injected a lot more fun into the season.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody's like listening to this recap that has not watched the episode and just wants us to tell you about every single hookup. There's too many here. I'm not sitting here and listing every single one of them. Everybody kissed everybody. Everybody, whatever with everybody. But the one that, I guess, that, I mean, you kind of have to quickly touch on the one that was a total shocker was Josh and Ashley.
Mm-hmm. I had heard this before. I don't know like exactly when in the season it was, but it had been like rumored. I don't know if it had been confirmed.
Well, I had not heard it, and I was surprised to hear Ashley's name come up on the reunion at all, especially tied to Josh, because we knew that they weren't going to talk about all of what happened. Mm-hmm. And then also just to hear it in this context of apparently there was, I don't know. Josh, you know, was kind of denying it, but then also kind of backed off of denying it when he was like, okay, well, I was like really drunk or whatever. So, you know, something must have happened while he had been drinking and maybe he doesn't remember it, or I don't know. So there's that.
Yeah. I'm not shipping. I'm not.
No.
Not shipping it.
No, 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 no. I'm not shipping Nelson and Ashley either. I'm not shipping Berna and Nelson.
What a
like, no.
Wild reminder that Ashley and Nelson came into this season hooking up.
Yeah. It does seem like a long time ago, and B, like it didn't actually happen. But as they both have talked about, like,
but like,
good,
that's it. Like, we were told that it happened, and then like, I think it, like, I think they showed it like once on the show, but it was just like such a non-entity. But like, oh yeah, they're going to be a couple this season, and then they're not at all.
Yeah, like 8 or 9 seasons in for both of them, it's like, oh, I mean, yeah, they kind of started their MTV careers same time-ish, their challenge careers, you know, around the same time, but just did not expect all of that from what, like 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago to be brought up in this year, but it is. And then when we get past all that, we're going to get into the bigger relationship drama of it all with Tori and Emmanuel and then Michelle getting involved and then Michelle with Fessy and then Fessy with Amanda, like this whole little, like, you know, you could draw the lines from this person to this person to this person. It just ends up in one of those 5-point stars.
Mm-hmm. This was interesting. I was surprised that Michelle, like, I don't know, she even said, she was like, I'm fine, I'm good, and she just like was crying about Manuel at one point. So I didn't expect that. I was a little disappointed when she was like, I hated Tori, and it was like, oh, like, can we not do this? Like, can we not like hate the other girl for one moment? How long were they actually there? Like, Michelle was probably there in the real time for like 2 weeks. I know Emmanuel yelled like, I love you on the way out, but like, how seriously are we taking that at that point? I don't know.
I know. And they talked about that. They were like, Emmanuel said, I love you. And she was like, does he not actually mean that? And Tori was like, what do you think? Like, he obviously just kind of throws it all out there. And Emmanuel was like, I just say it because I have love for these people, which I get. Like, I don't think it, you know, especially when you're in a, whatever you would call it, a relationship, a hookup like this fresh. And Emmanuel is like a relatively jokey kind of person, I guess you could say. So I definitely don't think anybody should have taken his I love yous to be serious, but I also am not in these relationships and I can't really tell them how to feel. So, Michelle, I believe her when she says she's fine. She doesn't seem to be like hung up on him or anything like that. And, you know, she's going to get a little bit of heat here as we get to the Amanda and Michelle of it all, because obviously those two started out the season as good friends on Instagram Live with Ashley. And I was like, this is the best, you know, 3-person friend group I've ever had seen in my life. But then quickly that faded away after there was reports about Michelle and Fessy having been together at one point. Harry Potter World apparently was a big factor in that. Who would have known? And Amanda just also does not vibe with Michelle anymore. So there's that.
There you go. All right. 2 questions.
No.
If Fessy invited you to a Harry Potter World, would you go?
I mean, yes.
Okay. Well, there's one. And number 2. If you had to pick a side right now,
no, Michelle or Amanda. No.
Who's right here? Because we have a lot of discussion. Michelle basically says, like, I didn't think you guys were anything. I thought it was over when you leave the house. And Amanda says, like, okay, well, even knowing that it was over, I would not have done that to you because I thought we were friends leaving that show. So what's the deal? I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle on this.
I mean, if you want me to pick a side in this specific argument of like who was right and who that's fine, because that's kind of easy. I think that Amanda was probably in the right about that, especially as Michelle even admitted she, you know, has apologized because she feels she was in the wrong about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that there's some element of like girl code, guy code, whatever you want to say, which I think is like probably not like the healthiest way of looking at things, but is something that a lot of people take into consideration. So especially like over a hookup, it's not like Michelle like saw a future with Fessy to our knowledge. So
right. And the fact that she was like being so, I guess, secretive about it, you know, saying, oh no, it was just a kiss or whatever. And Amanda was like, obviously I know that wasn't true. So like, what are you lying about? I don't really know what Michelle's mindset was or what she, you know, what she was thinking as she was navigating through all of that, or you know, I guess, like, I don't know. Something about Fessy.
At the same time, what do you want? Like, they're on the after show, and they'd be like, oh, Michelle, what went down with Fessy? Do you want her to be like, yeah, I boned him? Like, what do you want her to do?
Right.
Like, she's going to play it down a little bit.
Like, the rumors you heard, they're true.
Like, it's fine. You can, like, and, like, sex positive, you could talk about it. Like, sure, it's not anything to be ashamed of, but, like, I just, was like, I mean, I would also blame her because it specifically was on the after show.
Yeah. But no, Fessy is going to have, more of the hot seat here on his end of things, because we get into the Fessy and Amanda of it all, where Amanda, you know, I always am going to be on Amanda's side in most things. But like, I don't know, I feel like most people had to have felt for her here because she, like, it's hard to like decipher exactly what, you know, she was looking for in this relationship, I guess you could say. Like, was she looking for this to be like the two of them locked up together. Well, that's a weird way to put it. you know, was she trying to make this like a thing? Because she, you know, she went out to see the fight. She went out again when he agreed to, or when he wanted to take her to Mexico and all this stuff. So she was obviously like interested in him. But I don't know how serious she was about it and whatnot. I guess all we really have is what she's saying right here. But you know, it's just all a mess.
It seems pretty serious. Like, it seemed like, I don't think Amanda, like, yes, I think Amanda has it in her to like go on a show and hook up, but I don't think that she would be continuously like going back and getting upset over like a hookup. It seems like is she seeing Fessy as a long-term relationship like option? Like, maybe not, but I don't think that she is looking to be disrespected by any means either. I think that is like, I want to like lock this in for now and you're not straying on me. But at the same time, I do start to lose like a little bit of sympathy when like, even in present day, like it's been what, 6 months, like 8 months, and they have been on again, off again, like 300 times. Yeah. So like, you know what you're going back to at a certain point. At least not like this long-term relationship that all of a sudden problems hopped up on. So like, you are actively going back to a situation where like this is going to happen again, no matter how many times you go back.
Yeah, like, I'm glad he made a comment being like, when Maria was like, so like, what, like, so, like, what do you, like, I don't know what exactly she said, but kind of just like, what do you have to say for yourself? Like, why are, like, look at her. What do you have to say to her? And he was basically just being like, no, I know I'm an idiot. And it's like, okay, I'm glad. Like, I'm very glad to hear that you know that you're an idiot. But like, the way that, you know, Amanda at the end, when she's like, if you don't want to be treated like a dog, then don't act like one. Like, you are... just it's like the stupidity level within Fessy is just so severe that it's like it's almost not even worth like trying to figure out, because it's just the answer so simple. He doesn't think with his head. He thinks with something else at all times.
I think that it is a like cost evaluation for Fessy at this point. Like, not all of it can be like, oh, Fessy's dumb. Like, no, he knows what he's doing, and like, he's just fine. He knows that he can probably smooth this over, and if he can't smooth it over with Amanda, he'll move on to something else. Like, that is what it is. It is not like some big like, oh my god, Fessy, I didn't know what I was doing, I'm so sorry. Like, no, you knew what you were doing, and like, you decided it was fine and you could either get away with it or you'd smooth over things later, and if not, you'd move on. And so like, if that's the case, then fine, move on, goodbye. But if you want to keep like giving him another chance, then like, have an open relationship and then to make this okay, and then like, to accept those facts. But otherwise, like, Fessy's not changing. If you give him a couple years, maybe, but right now, no.
And to be clear, I would go to Harry Potter World with almost anybody, within reason.
I think so. It was specifically Fessy that sold the deal, so...
just saying. So yeah, I mean, Fessy's an idiot, Nelson's an idiot. We kind of passed over that segment earlier, but like, the way that I cringed when everybody was clapping for him for admitting he lied, I was like, really?
I mean, Fessy spoke a total, like, there were multiple segments about Fessy and he spoke a total of like 10 words, so like, the bar is so low.
I know. So yeah, and then we also get a little bit more backstage after this whole segment ends with Michelle and Amanda, where Michelle was kind of doing something similar to what like Tori had been saying earlier of it seemed like she was like open to resolving it, because it's like, you know, this is a stupid fight to be going in forever, like, we don't have to be friends. But and then Amanda just kept dismissing her, being like, okay, you can walk away now. And Michelle's like, okay, fuck this, I'm gonna go.
No thank you, you're good, no. So which, like, you know, Amanda knows what she wants and that's fine.
Yeah, and I mean, what she wants is, as much as I will put praise on her, what she wants is seemingly not many allies or friends going into next season, but that's the choice that she's making. And, you know, if next season comes and she's on it and she's out first, I have no surprise in me, but I'll be upset, but I'll understand it at this point.
Is Amanda playing for next season? Like, is she thinking that she's going to be on often enough that like, she really like should be prioritizing that? I don't know. But I mean, I guess I will say, when it's like, Amanda knows what she wants and that's fine. Like, it is, but where you say like, oh, Michelle like shouldn't have hooked up with her friend's friend, it's like, where in Tori, like, or Michelle shouldn't have got mad at Tori, like, Amanda shouldn't be like mad at Michelle, be mad at Fessy, like, I guess at a certain point, like, and she forgives Fessy a lot easier, it seems, than she forgives Michelle. So like, I don't know, Fessy might be a more valuable relationship in Amanda's book, but like, whatever, they can all do as they please.
And like, Fessy's so boring and confessional to me, at least, but like, just the fact that he creates all of this drama is why you know he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, that's why I am not mad about him being on the show. Like, drama follows Fessy.
I know. I wish it didn't. The next, I guess, major segment, unless you had anything else there, is all about the couple of the season, Nani and Casey.
No, I don't have anything else to jump to before that. I knew this was coming and was happy to see it.
Yeah, a lot of crying between the two right off the jump, which seems pretty consistent. They've been anytime that they really get to talk about their relationship in such open terms and such a big platform, it makes both of them pretty emotional. And you can see why. I mean, it's a relationship that has very clearly affected them both in such a great extent of just how much they care for each other. And, you know, especially on Nani's end of things, where this is the first time that she's been able to express these kind of feelings and the way that she's, you know, just head over heels in love with this woman. And, you know, it's been such a big, drastic change in her life. And you can see, as we both have said many weeks, she's just a completely different person than we've seen of Nani lately. And the way she talks about, you know, we weren't supposed to be here, but we decided we were going to do this together. And you just see that throughout the whole season that, you know, it's really not Nani. It's not Casey. It's just the two of them together, you know, growing together, you know, just experiencing this journey together all the way down to the very end when they go into that elimination that just broke them apart emotionally, obviously, not actually broke them apart. And just, you know, worked out in the end as far as one of them getting the win. So,
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought the segment, like, there were better clips on the table that they left off, but overall, really good. I will say, I don't want either of them to break each other's hearts. I'm a little more on guard for Nani's, given maybe Casey's history. But in general, like, really like them. I don't like love them as TV characters, Casey more than Nani even, but I like really do like them together, so I like the segments. I don't need them on every season moving forward, but definitely better as a pair.
I think, you know, it's hard to argue Casey at this point being, you know, great for TV as far as, you know, entertainment wise goes. But I don't think anybody, you know, would sit here and disagree. Obviously, it's like super important to have them both on this show, you know, in this couple, in this relationship, and just telling Nani's story and just showing like two women in a relationship on the show, I think is, you know, great for the show when all that we've had for 36 seasons at this point is generally just, you know, straight couples. Mm-hmm. So
very, very valid.
So there's that. We have we get into like the questions portion of the reunion, which is when you know that we ran out of things to talk about and we haven't talked to like five different people yet, which unfortunately included Big T. We kind of already talked about this a little bit, but she really was not involved in anything else besides the Logan storyline that she had this season. So we get a little bit on that in the hookup segment, and then she gets to talk about the CT of it all here, but she's just over it, as you can understand. So
mm-hmm. I feel like maybe it was similar to Emmanuel, where she was just like not playing her game in front of the cameras a lot, because I do think that she was actively like scheming, like more behind the scenes than usual. But like they gave nothing to her this season, so it did not surprise me at all that this was all we got of her.
Mm-hmm. We have the fight here that we also talked about earlier between Esther and Tatcha.
Yeah, I did not see this coming. I felt like it was established that they were working at least decently together on the show, but apparently that was not the case.
Yeah, this all confused me a lot, probably because, like, at least with the, you know, the Amanda of it all or whatever, like, a lot of the drama we knew from social media coming into, like what was going to be talked about here at the reunion, but maybe it's just because I don't follow these two girls closely that I was, like, completely not expecting mm-hmm. this. And then, you know, when they're talking about, you know, they were aligned at the beginning of the season, I was like, well, we knew that they knew each other. They were on the same season, but we knew that there was drama from their season. So, you know, I had no idea what to expect out of them, but it did seem like things were going just fine for them all season long. I guess just at the end of the day, it's a similar situation to a couple of the other people we've talked about. They're just, I guess, not made to be friends, and they have not kept in touch, to put it lightly.
Part of me was like, is this like a Josh and Gus situation where like we want to secure our spots on next season? But I really did enjoy like the serve that Tatcha had thought she had dropped, which she's like, I posted her twice on my stories and she didn't repost. And I was like, You could hear a pin drop. It fell so flat. It was so funny that you thought it was like the most egregious thing in the entire world. And everyone was like, what are you talking about?
They're like, what? Esther, you didn't repost? Wow. The betrayal.
It was so funny.
And Esther's like yelling at her like, yeah, I don't care about social media as much as you do, which is like funny just because of like the Tasha Titans of it all. Like, you know, she's obviously got a huge social media fan base out there, so she probably does spend a lot of time online. But Esther's like, that's what do you care? Like, what's the difference? So I guess those two are not friends right now, but maybe if we do see them back, maybe we'll see some resolution there. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's particularly likely that we get either or both?
That's such a tough question. Like, that fully is like the most 50-50 question or 50-50, you know, pairing of almost anybody here.
Yeah.
The fact that they were there at the reunion gives them points, but I don't know.
I agree. I'm really not sure. I think that there are like spots on the cast that are open for them, and so I would not be surprised at all. I feel like both of them made like a pretty decent impact in their short time on the show and also have fan bases outside of it. So yeah. I think it's very possible.
I think like with all that said, I think I do lean yes. If I'm gonna give it 51-49
mm-hmm.
Odds here, I'll give the 51% to yes that they will be back.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
That's that. And then we go backstage. Berna and Emmy are joking around, so they're fine. That's good. dancing all around with the selfie cam going. We get a Josh segment about the decision with Corey and Logan, which is just essentially a spot for Logan to talk because he had not done so yet.
Forgot he was there. Just every time I saw him, I was like, who is that? Oh, it's Logan.
Yeah. It was wild. Wild. We already talked about the Tori thing with her cheering for Emmanuel versus Devin. And then towards the end of the show, we have, we're like, okay, so what, Amanda, what did this tweet mean when you said you were going to blow up someone's shit? And she was like, I was talking about Fessy. We already did that. And they were like, glad we talked about it. Glad we aired it. cool. Fessy's like, I thought it was about Tori. And I think everybody else probably thought that too.
Uh-huh.
But either way, we already did both of those things.
Yep, like, okay, we moved on.
What was the tweet like years ago of, you have to know what I'm talking about before I even say anything. Jemmy? Was it Jemmy that was like, can't wait to the reunion? I mean, this probably happens often.
Yeah.
But, like, it was like, I'm going to blow up. No. Was it Natalie? Who was it?
I'm still listening.
Jenna?
Well, are you thinking like when Amanda was like,
was it Amanda and Jenna?
I'm going to destroy Zach and Jenna, basically.
Something like that.
And then she was like, oh, and just, but that was the thing that Amanda like decided not to drop what she had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Amanda both times.
It was Amanda. Yeah. I mean, Messy Queen. Are you shocked?
No. I am shocked though, because we close out the episode on, Tatcha has a crush on TJ, and TJ's here on a video call, presumably calling in live from Challenge All-Stars 3 taping, I believe is what probably is the case there. Glad we're having time to talk to TJ.
Yeah, because at first when he was like, oh, I have so many things in store for you, I was like, he's lying. They're not filming now. But I was like, but All-Stars 3 makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were filming All-Stars 3. You know, this is like 2 months ago, and I'm pretty sure that lines up. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, who doesn't have a crush on TJ?
You know, few of us, and I don't want to speak to those that don't.
TJ, you know, it's anytime that like the contestants are like talking to TJ in this like casual manner when he's on the podcast or whatever, it's just all giggles. They all, you know, it's like they all just want to be like loved by him and like joke around with him and whatever, and I can't blame them. Like, he does have that energy that you just want to like be his best friend when you're not filming a show. Like, I totally feel like I'd be the exact same way that they all act around mm-hmm. Him. But yeah, not really anything worth reporting on, if you ask me.
Where we talked about like how like all of the guys on the season just want to be like CT's best friend,
right?
But like, and I was like, that's kind of pathetic. Like, would simp for TJ. Mm-hmm. Does not apply. Not pathetic.
Exactly. 100%. And you know what, Scally, just be better.
It'll never happen.
Well, that's TJ's advice. So maybe you can take it. Maybe I can take it. Maybe we all can take it and be better. And they're
if only.
Who knows? And then to actually close out the show, I mean, I have this in my notes, but let me tell you, when I watched it both times, I had it on mute. I was not sitting here listening to another Alien performance. I'm sorry. Like,
oh,
I the song gets stuck in my head. That's the problem.
I enjoyed it. Not going to lie.
I'm not going around like all of Christmas week and having Christmas music and Alien stuck in my head. No,
I was like, and impressed. I was like, Emmy can actually sing. Like, this is good. So did download it on added it to some playlist on Apple Music, so I was happy.
I'll give it the download too. I'll do that, but I'm not gonna listen to it. It's just one of those songs that, like, I'm hearing it in my head now, and now I'm probably just, you know, doing the damage that I could have done by unmuting earlier.
If you want to get any song, not to plug it because it's such garbage, I just like the morbid curiosity. I want to hear your reaction to Ed on This Season Makes Music, and it is so horrific. It is so,
I'm good.
So it makes me like Ed so much less. The music.
I'm good.
It's so bad.
We end this episode with the Alien performance, everybody's having a good time. Everybody's got the Alien shirts on. Emmy's looking great with the full-on green Alien suit or whatever she was wearing there. Everybody had a good time, so that closes out the show.
There we go. Anything season else? 37, a wrap.
You miss any notes there?
No, I'm all good on notes. I was like curious to talk about the season like as a whole now that we are done with it, but nothing on the reunion specifically.
Yeah, I mean, feel free, you know, whatever you have to, you know, add in there. It's just like as you mentioned, like with the reunions, like wrapping up everything we've been talking about for weeks. So like, I don't at this moment in time feel like I have like wrap up thoughts. I feel like once we get to like the 38 draft in a couple of, you know, months, whenever that ends up happening, it's a lot easier to then look back and be like, oh, so this is what I thought. I mean, overall, I want to say that I don't know if I'm as down on season 37 as I feel like you are, but I don't want to put words in your mouth if that's not how you feel when all said and done. I gave you an assignment and I didn't do it myself.
Oh no, because I was about to bring up your set assignment.
I totally forgot.
Well, start thinking about it and start writing it down, because I did the work already.
Wow, I totally forgot, and now I have to go find it. I know that Mike Bloom retweeted it, so I'm gonna check on his.
I mean, it's only 8 seasons, so
I know, but I want to look at the logos. Fully forgot the assignment that I gave you days ago. Is that where we are?
I was looking at ranking the seasons, talking about who we may want or not want back, you know, big picture items.
All right, let's go with the seasons. I wish that I could have remembered my own assignment so I could get, I wanted to give it like a lot of thought, like look back at the cast and like remember things, but no, it's fine. I'll just do it off the fly here. So why don't we just go like back and forth and say, like, you know, out of these 8 seasons from 30 through 37, you want to go like both of us say our 8th season and then move up the list?
If you want to start with 8, we can start with 8.
You were going to start with 1?
Either way, I feel like 1 is almost more obvious, but okay. We can start with 8.
Well, you could start with 8, I could start with 1?
I'm saying we can start with whatever you
want. I'm just kidding. Okay, you want to start with 8?
Sure, we can start with 8. What's your 8th season?
Okay, it does feel pretty easy for me. Total Madness is at the bottom for me.
All right, Total Madness is not my number 8.
Mm-hmm.
It is... Spies, Lies, and Allies, number 8 on the board for me.
Okay.
I don't know. You came into this season, I feel like, more so than me, and were really worried about the cast being so repetitive from past seasons. And I was like, well, it always is. Like, what are you talking about? This is the 30s. This is what I always like. And I think that I really started to feel that burnout in particular once we realized that it was going to be the veterans just crushing the rookies. So many fun people were introduced this season, but we got to see so little of them that ultimately is going to rank so low for me. I think maybe this rookie class could like come back and do great things, but as far as the season individually, I thought it was pretty boring.
I don't think I'm too far off. I think number 7 is going to end up being Spies, Lies, and Allies for me out of these 8 seasons. I feel, again, as I just said, I don't feel like I'm super down on it, but everything that you just said, I mostly agree with. A lot of repetitive nature from the past season or seasons, you could say. And I don't want to repeat exactly what you just said, but yeah, yep. That'll be in my 7 spot.
Yeah, well, I have Total Madness in my 7 spot.
Oh, so. Would you look at that.
Look at that.
What's your number 6?
My number 6 is War of the Worlds 2.
Okay, well, I'm debating between War of the Worlds 2 and Double Agents. Oops, I just gave away my next one.
Well,
Well, that's fine. I think ultimately I'd probably go double agents in the next spot.
Okay.
So I guess it keeps it interesting anyway. So I'm probably going to go my number six is double agents, and then my number five is a World of Worlds 2.
Okay. So for me, I was not willing to put all of the non-banana seasons all the way at the bottom. So that was part of it for me. No, I think that War of the Worlds 2, similar to this season, had a lot of like very predictable weeks where it's like you came in knowing exactly what was going to happen over and over and over, as well as like very predictable alliance structure. The game was pretty broken very early on. So, and there were some pretty unlikable cast members on that season for me. So that is why I have War of the Worlds 2 so low. I do not have Double Agents at 5. I have it at 4, but we can discuss it now. Double Agents, I do think, is broken with the Skulls twist. Mm-hmm. But I thought that there was, like, ultimately where we ended up was a lot of people that I liked a little bit more at the end. So that helped its ranking for me.
Now I'm trying to remember. Oh, Cam and Leroy were there.
Basically that.
Yeah, that's fair. Corey was there at the end. And
it was like big tease, like big season. So that was always enjoyable for me.
That's true. All right. I guess, I could see an argument of swapping them back into the order that you have it. But I mean, overall, I feel like I'm having a hard time not grouping these past, I guess, two seasons, but definitely three seasons almost together.
That's fair.
And just leaving them towards the bottom. So, I mean, Double Agents, yeah, close by there, which means, so what's your number five?
My number five is Vendettas.
Okay, that's my number four.
Yeah, which, I mean, I feel like these are in tiers almost that we're talking about right now. So maybe that's even like a better way to discuss. What are your thoughts on Vendettas?
I have positive feelings about Vendettas. It was the beginning of the new era, essentially, with the British cast members. You know, that was Kyle and Joss and Kaylee, Melissa, Rogan.
I mean, yes, for like 30 minutes.
Just wanted to see if I could name all five of them because I knew it was five. Yeah, I mean, I have positive memories of all of these four that we're getting into now.
Yeah, for me, what brought it down a little bit was it is a slightly weaker cast, in my opinion. I particularly don't like some people quite a bit. I'm not the biggest fan of Vendettas. I don't feel like we got a lot of, Kyle, but basically no one else that I'm like particularly in love with. So
that was like the height of my Kara standing though when she won. So, oops, spoiler.
I mean, it is I don't feel like I was ever anywhere near that level of standing. So I had a different view of the season.
So we're at the top three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's your three?
My three is fittingly the 30th. 30, yeah. 30 is my third one here.
I think that's fair. I have Final Reckoning in this spot. For me, I took into consideration how it was on a week-to-week basis. I think Final Reckoning, we have discussed, is probably better on a binge where there's not so many to be continued. But I just remember Final Reckoning being like the peak of the to-be-continued era. So I did have it hurt on that point.
All right.
And just also the weird format of like there being men women teams and men teams and women women teams and like it not being seemingly balanced at all for the teams, so that hurt it as well.
Yeah, Dirty 30 being third here is no like obviously no slam. I like all three of these a lot that are remaining here. I again have great memories of all of them, specifically Dirty 30 of just like I feel like a lot of vets returned in that season. Was that, I think Jemmy came back after after a break. Anissa had been back after a while. So it was just like seeing some faces that we hadn't seen in a while. We were kind of like mixing in with, some old people. There's a couple of rookies out there with like the breakout season of Tori, which, and many people out there, even if you don't like Tori now, a lot of people were really in on Tori in the rookie season of it all. The Jenna and Kayla dynamic and, how that all played into Kara and the person that she was kind of tied to on that season who ended up winning. So there's a lot there that I did enjoy at that time.
The winners of the season, abysmal.
But besides that point, yeah.
So bad. Yep. But yeah, I agree. I just think that the cast is a little stronger. I hated the Redemption House portion, but less To Be Continued's kind of carried it for me there.
And I take it that this Dirty 30 season is your number two.
Number two, yes, it is.
Right. So I guess that leaves, is there any suspense left here? Is the suspense left just done?
Does not seem like it.
No. So, the number one for both of us, well, actually I didn't even talk about Final Reckoning at all, but, the number one, I believe, actually, wait.
No.
I think my number one is Final Reckoning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? Explain that for me.
Suspense.
I'm curious.
No, cause I feel like I've been saying this lately and I wanted to go back to War of the Worlds, but in the final second, I have to switch it back to Final Reckoning. I loved a lot of the pairs on Final Reckoning. And I mean, Final Reckoning is the one with like Natalie and Pauly, like, you know, their rise back from the Redemption House, right? Like I'm thinking of the right season there. And as somebody who was watching for the Big Brother teams, not for them, but like I was excited to have them there. Davon, of course, making her debut there. Like it was just great to see them mixed in with everything there. I thought there was a lot of good stuff there. I loved Kara and Marie together. That was, you know, Amanda and Zach of it all, like, while horrible for Amanda that she was put in that situation with a partner that's such a dick. It was compelling for me. I thought Bananas and Tony as a team were compelling television overall. Corey and Devin coming in and having that like last minute thing. And then Ashley, like, at the end, to top it all off, it has to be my number one.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's fair. For me, like, 33 is so strong. I actually have War of the Worlds 1 in, like, its own tier. I don't think it's touched for me by any of the other seasons in the 30s. I think that the cast is incredibly strong. Obviously, we have learned that a number of them are not super standable in the year 2021. And so we do not see many of them come back at this point. But just like, I mean, you know, Turbo's like, Turbo and Davon, my number one and two people in the whole world, are like huge parts of this season. I think that almost no one is a complete dud. So War of the Worlds is just like league of its own for me.
Fair enough. So is that, yeah, that's
that's my number one. Yeah.
Essentially wrapped up. Yeah. Okay. Sorry if that bored anybody. But who cares? And then we were going to talk about the rookies here and who's kind of top picks to come back.
Yeah. I mean, you can, if you really want to, if there's any, vets where you think it's in, in question. I was looking at, like, we don't need to go through every single person. I'm sure that we will speak about many of them who on the draft whenever that does come up. Seems like it's going to be a couple months though for season 38. Okay. Yeah, which is fine. But I was curious, like, there are people that are like on the bubble that we either want to come back or maybe we don't think have a big chance. If you could like lock in, let's say, you know, 3-5 people, just like a couple names that are like on that line, you're not sure coming back, who would you want to lock in for next season?
Like I can hit the switch right now and this person will be back.
You are putting them on the cast.
Okay, well, the obvious number one on the board, Michelle Fitzgerald, you know, pack your bag, you're coming. So this is, I'm really only looking at rookies here. Number two,
give me Priscilla. I think the only vet that really like would be a question would be like Amanda, of whether or not she's going to do it and you want to lock her in. But yeah, I think that's fair to look at rookies.
All right. Yeah, well, especially, you know, so many of the vets are like, you know, have their own stories going on right now of like, oh, Corey Wharton's not going to be there. And Anissa, I don't know if she's still hurt or whatever. And Ashley's probably not going to be there after the season, but who knows?
I'm not sure about that. We'll see. Yeah,
fair. I think after Michelle, I don't know if this is surprising, but I think I'm going to go Priscilla.
Okay. I think that's totally valid.
I think she just, you know, had that big moment and I want to see more. I want to see her have a chance to kind of build off of that and see where we can go with it. And third, I'm going to keep it with Survivor and get Michaela back out there.
Ooh, I like it. I like all three picks on the women's side. I feel like the women's side has actually a number of people that I would like to come back. It's so like cut and dry for me, where they're just like an absolute zero. There's no way. Like, we're never seeing Lauren again. We're never seeing Tracy. We're not seeing Bettina, I don't think. But like all three you named, I'm very happy with. I think as far as the guys, like I would throw like Corey as someone who I'm not sure is going to get a chance, and I would like to see come back.
I don't really know about that one.
Oh, really? Why is that?
About wanting to see him back.
Oh, no, you don't want to?
He's coming for Amanda.
Yeah, that's fine.
Again, shout out to Brian Cohen for single-handedly having the tweet of the night there, calling out
I died.
Corey.
I'm not so confident that it's like that Corey's never coming back, though.
I mean, I'm not confident about it either, but don't come for Amanda.
That he can come for Amanda, it's fine. Like, she gets herself into half of it, so
I know.
you know, and like she would do the same for any of her friends, so like I don't, whatever, like they can all tweet their nonsense and I'll stay out of it. But I would lock in Corey. I think on the guy side, he's one of the people that I would most want back.
Okay. I'm not 100% there with you, but
Well, that's
I'm
fine.
not 100% not there. Okay, continue.
And then I agree, like all names that you named, I agree. I would probably try to lock in the
Yep.
other one that you didn't say. Like, I don't know if I love them, like outside of the show. I think they are a lock to come back. I think Ed's coming back no matter what.
I really don't need it, but okay.
I don't know. I feel like if I am strictly evaluating the TV personality of Ed on the challenge, I think he brought a lot to the season.
I don't.
Okay.
But I'm not gonna like cry if he's there, so.
That's fair.
So.
That's fair. Anyone you want to block from this cast? You could like make sure people are not there that you think are risk of being on.
Gabba was boring.
You think he's at risk of being on?
No. You
Okay.
just said I could block someone, so I did.
Yeah, that was the first right to Gabo. That's funny. Gabo's not top of my list to block, but
I'm just well, he I wouldn't even say he's top of my list. I'm just looking at the draft board and it was drawn right to
you
his
can
name.
include vets here if you want also.
Jeez. I'm not blocking Nam, but I don't know what else there is to explore with Nam. I mean, obviously he was like, you know, there's specific circumstances here, but I don't know. Just maybe it's the like lack of online presence that I'm like, you know, not sitting here being like, you know,
I actually think if
wanting.
I could lock someone, I might lock Nom.
Okay. I mean, again, like, I'm like not against you know, seeing what happens there, but that's like a big risk almost for me of like,
Yeah.
yeah, you tried twice and you know.
I mean, yeah, like the for this time was just like we didn't even get a chance to see anything. So,
Yeah.
and I get that, like, oh, the circumstances didn't work out. Like, sorry, you got one, two more chances than like most other people do. But I don't know. We talk about like a ton about representation and like how little
Yeah.
representation like Asian men get on like any shows, let alone the challenge. So like, I don't want. I'm not ready to get rid of Nam just yet.
Fair. The other person that I'll block is Jeremiah. So I
I
can stay
don't.
awake.
That's fine. I like agree with all of those names. I actually don't dislike Gabo, but if I'm gonna block someone, I feel like no surprise. I would like to block Devin for a season. I think that the whole like veteran strong like movement that he really is like the key guy behind is just like so detrimental to the show, and really would do a lot to not have him there, where I feel like Brian and Ali talked a lot about this. Like, this was almost like Devin's best case scenario this season, and I think that he either like has to take the shot at CT and like get his one chance of winning, or continue to do this and hope for third place. And I think that he is kind of like content with hoping for third place, and that's not fun TV. So I would love to not see Devin for a little bit. I don't need Logan. I think Logan's kind of boring, and I think actually has a realistic shot of getting on. And if I am trying to take a season off of someone else,
CT.
honestly, I wouldn't hate to take a season off.
CT.
Yeah,
CT.
I'd be fine with taking a season off from CT.
So that nobody has to draft him first and, you know, be stuck with like, you know, well, let's not do this again. It just, you know, let's let somebody else win next season on the guy side and let's give him some time off. He didn't want to, you know, he's just sitting home being nice and safe and we can just let him stay there for just a little bit longer waiting
I would
for
be totally down with that.
yeah.
If he decided to take a season off, like I would have said Corey if he was not taking a season off already, for the record.
Yeah. And you know what? Let me also throw in Nelson. I'm sorry.
I don't need the break from Nelson, but like, it's fine. Basically, any of these vets, if you told me that they were taking a season off, even if I like really like them, I'm not going to be like that upset.
Just Nelson's confessionals are so painful.
that they are so bad, they're good in my book.
They're so painful. They're so painful. You guys, you just don't understand that Amanda is emotional and she's not going to show it on her face, but she feels feelings in there.
Guy, Amanda, just pick a rookie. Just listen to me.
Tori, what are you doing? You got a guy over there that you just met, and you got Devin, who's supposed to be your friend. What is going on?
He's not the best, but that's fine.
I'm just so spent. I'm giving up. I'm so tired. I just hate Devin. I don't know. Whatever. Okay, I'm done. I could use a break.
That's fine. Like I said, almost any person on this list has not expressed that they are already going to be taking a break, like, I would be fine with them taking a break as well.
There you go. All-Stars 2?
All-Stars 2.
All right. So, obviously, again, as I've said many times, we are going to plenty more to say about 37, either as the coming weeks come up and drama comes up, you know, we'll still be here for a couple more weeks of All-Stars. And then as we go forward, you know, the through line of the challenge never ends. So hard to sit here and be like, oh, that's a wrap on 37. It's just, you know, the last episode for now. It was a long season, started back in August, and we're finally kind of done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure 37 will continue to come up, especially with the lack of 38 on the horizon. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it's not the last we talk about it.
All Stars 2 on Paramount Plus is up to episode 7, which means we are pretty, pretty close to the end here. We're going to see this episode open up with, you know, kind of a callback to Brad talking about how his relationship with Nehemiah is not really great in the game this season. And as we are going to see throughout this entire episode, that is the storyline, or the, I guess you could say the A storyline that's happening here. Because, of course, the underlying factor of it all will be the person who ends up going home, Casey. Of course, with her partner Kahuta, and I'm gonna turn to you. Where do you want to start with all this?
I think we can just go. Let's save Casey till the end. Okay. We open with like the safety palace, what I thought was like a very fun scene of like some people more enthusiastically than others. I'm just like sitting on the bed watching as everyone is like chanting and singing about like the King's Palace and their great alliance and how everyone has now won an elimination and Jasmine and Ayana have now joined them. So I thought this was fun. I thought it was a good character building scene.
Okay. So, like, I'm trying to think, like, can we think of any other alliances that have been this, like, this exact, like, the setup that we're getting from this group here, the King's Palace or the Safety Palace, is the celebration is over the top. They're all over the place, like, screaming, yelling, shouting when they have success in the game like they did coming back from this elimination. And just they're being very obvious with their alliance. I'm like, okay, so who else, like, what's a good comparison to this group? I mean, it's not the vets from this past season, even if they were, like, celebrating amongst each other every time a rookie went home. Like, it's not this. This just feels so abnormal.
So I was going to say the vets for half a second, where they were openly talking about, like, how do we ensure that rookies go against each other in front of other rookies was being like, as obvious. But in terms of, like, openly celebrating and just, like, kind of rubbing it in the faces of the people that lost, I don't know if it is like a regular staple of the challenge. It reminds me kind of like old school Big Brother, where like Big Brother 6, everyone would like scream and cheer for their alliance that ended up winning, especially just like completely humiliating the other side. So I think it's interesting to have two sides of the house so openly.
Sure, but I can't help but like have a lot of criticism towards this side as they are just being super messy. I'm like, there's like, because I think we all like tech. So like my biggest person on this side that I'm like, you know, all in on is tech. Letarian, cool. Nehemiah has been kind of up and down with me lately. Melinda, cool. And then like, Who else is here? Ayana is like kind of in, but only kind of because she's someone's partner, I think, is kind of how she ended up in this alliance. So I don't know if she counts. If she counts, then she's my number one here. Otherwise, it's Tech. So just like overall, I'm not like, you know, root. I'm not rooting for either side here, honestly. Like this entire season, like has been, as you said earlier on when we first started covering it, like the cast is very, you know, whelming. It's not great, not terrible. And I feel like as we've progressed, I'm down to like two people in the house that I genuinely care about. That's John A and Jasmine. Everybody else, I'm just like, okay, you're here.
I care about more people than that, I would say, but it's not so overwhelmingly that I am like devastated when one of them go in. Like something happens and I'm enjoying it. And so like as long as it's entertaining, which I think this season has been so far, just from like drama, gameplay and everything perspective, maybe except for like the challenge winners every week, I think that it's been bringing it. So almost like a better recipe where it's just like my enjoyment does not depend on like my side winning every single time.
Yeah, so I mean, as far as you were setting up earlier, the King's Palace, the Safety Palace, they're celebrating. They pull Jasmine in because now Jasmine's on a team with Letarian, and she's like, "Oh yeah, woohoo! I'm so happy to be included." Which, you know, she gives us the fun confessional, being like, "Yeah, I mean, sure, if that's what they want to hear, rah rah." And also, speaking of John A and Jasmine, John A's like, "Yeah, I mean, Jasmine's kind of tied up to them now because of where she is in the game, but I know she's still got my back, so you know, nothing I need to worry about." And then when we go to Janelle and Brad checking in, they're like, so it's very clear what's going on. Like we all hear them yelling and screaming and, you know, celebrating. So we know that they're together. And Brad, I know that you and Nehemiah are friends, but if it comes down to it, which spoiler, is going to come down to it. You're going to have to make a call here.
No. Yeah. I mean, there are tons of ways to, like criticize the Alliance, to criticize like the gameplay of almost everyone on this season, including Brad. Like, I feel like Brad is just like the scene of him talking to Janelle where he's like, no, but I just want to like talk to him and just like completely expose everything. Also, it's like, okay, well, this is not good either. So I think everyone's playing kind of messy and that's what's keeping it fun.
Yeah. Actually, I don't have anything else before the challenge itself. Do you?
Oh, no.
You said we were going to wait for Casey.
Yeah, no, I guess not. You know, we get that quick little check-in. But like I said, I think everyone's playing kind of sloppy. So that has kept this fun, but no, not really anything else.
If we want to keep the momentum of this discussion going, we can go back to the challenge later.
Either way, we can go to the challenge.
Okay. We'll go to the challenge. Scally says we're going to the challenge.
I don't think there's a lot to talk about here anyway.
No,
so
there's really not. Go play. It's called Steer Clear. TJ comes in, you know, in his usual TJ entrance. And at a certain point, like when you water it, like it feels like it's a little watered down when you get the TJ entrance, like almost twice a season, every season. It's like, okay, not as exciting as it could be. But yeah, they've got these, like, they're up on the rig on this big truck and the cars are racing past them. Grab as many flags as you can. Whoever gets the most is going to win. And the suspense here is very obvious. It's just two sides of the house. One side's worried about the other. The other side's worried about the other. And Melinda and Nehemiah do the best on their side with the King's Palace. And then Brad and Jody end up doing the best on their side and end up pulling out the win here.
So I guess to discuss the challenge first, I actually complain, like, I know I complain a lot about like the challenges that are more of a set than they are a challenge. But comparatively, I thought that this one was actually pretty fun to watch for the first like two or three rounds at least, which like, yes, then like inevitably everything is going to get more boring the more times you see it over and over. But I didn't think this was like bad as a challenge. And I just felt like, I actually thought, I'm dumb. I thought Melinda and Nehemiah were going to pull it out.
I don't know what I was thinking. I kind of thought that John A and MJ were going to get it because I don't know. They, and I mean, they obviously came close, but just like when it was their turn, I felt like the music or whatever was like building up and I was like, oh, okay, here's the team that's going to knock them down. But then also I was like, they probably would have like shifted it and put them last. And I was like, oh, there's Brad and Jody. They haven't gone yet. All right. There's our winners. I don't know. I didn't have a strong opinion about the challenge either way. It was perfectly what you'd expect with the challenge, but I did enjoy the soundtrack for most of the teams that got to go. They put some fun music in there, so that was what kept my enjoyment.
There you go.
With Ayana.
I don't
like a bird.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my main takeaway from this is like Jody and Brad win again, really? Like, come on.
That's what I'm saying. It's like this march towards the end for the two of them is just not it. But
yeah, Which I think, like, and when you said, like, I'm not, like, you had so few people that you're invested in, like, mostly I'm rooting against Jody and Brad right now. Like, that's kind of where I'm at.
I'm rooting for Jhené and Jasmine, and I hope that they both can win.
Yeah, like, I am very much rooting for them. But, like, in terms of, like, outside of that, I am definitely rooting against Jody and Brad. Just because I don't want the inevitability. Like, yeah. And I find Jody boring. Brad's, like, kind of whatever. Yeah. So.
Brad's beard. Oh, my God. It's getting worse.
Is a lot.
It's so
bad. Is a lot.
It's so much. So, yeah, the results here, Brad and Jody winning. Letarian and Jasmine were the worst team, but they have the life shield, so they won't even have a chance to have their names put up on the board for it to get taken away from them. So they're just automatically, you know, we know you're going to save yourself. You have the opportunity to, so you're safe. Tech and Ayana are going to be the ones that have to go in because they had the second worst amount of flags that they captured with 11. Jasmine and Letarian had 10, and that's the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, disappointing. I was kind of hoping that we would see, like, two sides of the house end up in the elimination. Like, someone on, like, Brad and Jody's side lose, and then they can throw someone on the other side. Like, let's keep the rivalry going.
But no. When we go back to the house and, you know, as we're going to kind of mix a lot of this all together with going, you know, they have this night out as well. Again, the whole story here is Brad, it's Nehemiah. Eventually when we get to the nominations or the, you know, the names are going up on the board, the intended target is going to be Melinda and Nehemiah, because as Brad says 100 different ways, 100 different times, there's no other option. You know, Letarian is safe. Tech is already going in, and in order to break up the, you know, main core of this alliance, Melinda and Nehemiah are the obvious pick, and they're going to have the votes to send them in. So, you know, Casey and Kahata go up there, as well as, is it a decoy the right way to put it? I mean, they're just...
I mean, that's what they said, I think, so...
yeah, they're not going to get the votes. So, you know, we're going to, of course, end up seeing Melinda and Nehemiah get the votes. But yeah, the whole thing here of just Brad and Nehemiah's friendship and how this is kind of having an impact on Brad. Did you know that these two were as close as they are?
No, not at all. Not a clue. And I mean, Nehemiah's like, people warned me not to trust Brad. I'm like, who? Like, what is the discussion around Brad that you guys like really needed to get around? So,
and I'm like, I wonder, is it Wes?
Ooh,
because maybe the three of them all in the season three.
That could make sense.
I don't know. Like, the way that the story here is being built up with Brad and Nehemiah so much, like, I think Brad and Nehemiah are both in the season. I've fully forgotten the season three cast.
Me too.
Like Kayla, because that's the one that I keep calling back and that you keep
laughing
at me about.
Oh my God, this is so depressing.
oh, and of course the two, you know, surprises there, let's say their names, that are there as well, but that's not this podcast. I just feel like the way that they're setting up Brad and Nehemiah, I'm like, is this some kind of like, here I go again with the Johnny of it all, Johnny, and are they trying to give us like, you know, big name rivalries to kind of have be the main backbone of these all-star seasons? Like, if they are a continued thing going forward, like, you need to have some set like main storylines. You can't just have like, you know,
that's funny.
I don't know,
because I kind of felt like what we have been learning through the main show is not to rely on any one cast member too much, because mm-hmm. we're in a point now where on the main show, like, it's just CT. You know, like, Anissa's there, but like, Nani. Anissa was never really framed in the way that they had framed many of the faces of the franchise. And I know that she is now, but she's not like some longstanding face. So I think that if that is the case, they're just trying to like build these people up to bring back over and over and over and over, which I think, like, if you're making a choice, Nehemiah is a good one. But I don't think that you should get to the point where you are so heavily relying on one person.
And even if they are, they're not. I mean, they have to have some stories in place so that, you know,
sure.
If the person's there, if these people are there, like, you got to be able to have the callback to, you know, like, if they are both on next season, if I'm remembering that correctly, and, you know, there's something
right.
involving both of them, you know, next season, then you have to, you know, you have this to fall back on. I'm not saying you have to, but you, like, you know, it's good to have that backstory for a show like this again, where, you know, the story continues throughout all these different years. Also, the one thing that I can't stop thinking about, because I remembered it and then I just couldn't stop thinking about it, is I know I already mentioned this, I don't know, probably weeks and weeks ago, the fact that Brad and Darrell are working together again after their big fight that they had gotten into. I know it was like forever ago, but like, again, if anybody does not know, you know, or does not remember, or maybe hasn't watched these past seasons, Brad and Darrell got into like a major fight that got them both sent home, like a physical altercation on a challenge many, many years ago that sent them both home right before the final. And it, every time I remember that, I'm like, and these two are like close allies this season. It's
That's
crazy.
So funny. I didn't think about that at all.
Yeah. Like, that was like Brad grew like a third eye under his eye. And, you know, neither of them came out of that looking great.
Mm-hmm. The first season Darrell lost.
Yeah.
So
another like great allies. Okay.
The one thing from here that I thought was funny, and I have a question on, is Brad tells Nehemiah that he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I really tried pushing a different play, but they didn't go for it. What was that play?
There was none. That was just like, throwing Jody under the bus.
I'm just like, but like, what? Like, dude, was the story that you actually want Casey and Kohata to go in? Like, I don't get what the story is. There's no one else here. So like, are you lying? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, it must have been that he was going to, you know, push for Casey and Kohata and say like, oh no, I was going to get John A and MJ in there too, so that we could vote in Casey and Kohata. Like, I don't know. It's obviously, it wasn't believable. Nehemiah was like, okay, I'm just going to walk away now, 'cause this is, you know, such BS.
Should Brad have thrown this challenge?
No. There's two sides of the house. You want to keep the numbers on yours.
I mean, I get that. I did not realize that Brad and Nehemiah were so close, and it's just like this friendship ending move here. So like, given that, and Brad like seemed to know that it would be that, it just is surprising to put yourself in the situation where that might be the case.
And I don't like Brad very much, but like, you know, as he says, it's like hard to not feel the move is justified after.
Yeah.
Again, the house lines are very, very clear. It's like, as far as his game goes, he knows who has agreed to work with him, you know, being Brad. And Nehemiah may have said that he's willing to work with him, but he's got other people that just are, he's way more loyal to at the moment. So, mm-hmm. We get a quick thing with Janelle and Melinda, where Janelle's basically saying the exact same thing of just like, I know that you guys are all like aligned together. You're celebrating a lot. You're, you know, you're having a great time all together. Melinda thinks it's, you know, kind of BS, but I can't really agree with Melinda there. It's just, again, all we've been saying, it's obvious that they're together. You have to take a shot.
Yeah, I was surprised when Melinda was like, I never would have said your name. I was like, why?
the famous Melinda and Janelle friendship, Scally, come on.
I associate Austin and Key West as like pretty close seasons on The Real World. Like, I just kind of like think of those two casts as you know, almost one and the same, since I think they were like maybe back to back, if not really close. But I don't remember any Melinda Janelle relationship ever.
Yeah, I got nothing. But as they talk here, Melinda never would have thrown Janelle in, so, you know, I guess we'll go with it.
Yeah. Well, I just love going back to like, Melinda is just like I think that's like complete BS, and like, that is just an excuse. It's like, why is that an excuse?
I know, like, that's why I'm like, you can't agree.
Yeah. And then they go back to Letarian, and if you want to get the drunkest you've ever been in your life, then like, Letarian taking full advantage of being able to curse on Paramount Plus.
Oh my god!
Every time Letarian curses.
Jeez, Louise!
It is
like
wild.
Also, like, I don't know. Just as somebody who like, I curse once in a while, but like, I'm the kind of person that like, every once in a while, I have people that like, if I do curse, people look at me funny and they're like, "Did you just curse?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" Like, I curse all the time, but like, realistically, yeah, I don't that much. And I get reassured that I don't curse that much, because when I hear somebody like Letarian talking, I'm like, oh my god. Like, it's like almost rare to hear a word that's not a curse word.
It is truly every third word.
Yeah.
It is so wild. And I think it's very funny to listen to. But yeah, Letarian is, like I said, taking full advantage of this being on Paramount Plus.
He sure is. So, you know, they're all going to end up going out, and, you know, the King's Palace is being very, you know, sarcastic. Oh, let's all have fun, but we can't laugh too loud, can't have too much fun. People are going to think that we're together. It's like, okay, you're at it. You're sitting at the same table. We already know you're together. Like, stop.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. And, but this whole night ends up with, you know, Brad's ready to get out of there, because all he can sit there and pay attention to is Nehemiah at the table with the King's Palace being like, you know, being very vocally anti-Brad and anti this whole alliance, you know, the other alliance. and just very upset with it all. So, you know, they're going to check in the next morning and kind of make everything better. But, you know, the tension between these two, at least at this one night, was just rough.
I thought it was so weird and, like, not unexpected at all. But, like, I was rooting for the King's Palace until I had, like, Nehemiah and Letarian being like, if you want to get rid of me, then, like, why don't you go against me yourself? It's like, all right, Nehemiah, remember when you tried to challenge Derek and Ryan in the first week? Like, let's not pretend like you're this, like, big tough guy that is constantly calling out the biggest threat in the room. Like, Tech is the only one who was like, I'll go against MJ. Nehemiah is like, who is the smallest possible person? Can I go against Casey? Is that an option? like, I just don't see the walk backing up the talk in Nehemiah all the time. So was just like rolling my eyes so hard.
Yeah, same, like big same. But I don't know, it's, I really like, I don't have a whole lot else to say with these two, especially because as we're gonna get to the end, like, it doesn't even matter. I guess, like, compelling scene, you know, upcoming as after, I'm cutting ahead a little bit, after the selection happens and Nehemiah and Melinda are gonna get voted in, when he and Tech are packing and Letarian's in the room and he's like genuinely like emotional and upset about this, because this group has like gotten so tight. And, you know, I did take notes of what he said, and there's too many curses, and I'm realizing I don't want to say it out loud.
Yep. Well, just, they're like, you already took it out on Tyler. It's like, what did Tyler do?
Like, I know. He's like, well, I got more ready to go for whoever wants it.
Like, I hope so. He didn't do anything. He wasn't even in an alliance.
So, yeah, but and then, you know, to tie it, I guess, to take a step backwards, Nehemiah during the selection does get to kind of speak on what this alliance means to him. He talks about, you know, he's like, I use the word king within the king's palace to represent me and, you know, the other black men that I've brought together here into this alliance to show, you know, the royalty that we come from and be proud of, you know, who we are and what we're doing here together. And Janelle makes a comment. She's like, I appreciate what you guys have done together, but just as, you know, it all ties in together in the grand scheme of this big game that we're playing. I know that this relationship you built with these two guys is going to be stronger than, you know, what you and I might have. So that's why she has to vote for him. And that's why everybody is ultimately, you know, casting their Nehemiah votes.
Well, there's a lot of things in here where, like, and people on the cast acknowledge, like, I'm totally behind what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Nehemiah, like, you made an alliance of who was in your room. And that, like, was potentially, like, motivated by the fact that the people in his room were black and he wanted to see them make it far in the game. But, like, we said, like, early on both sides, why is everyone ignoring the women? Like, this could have been, because Nehemiah used, like, the word minorities is why he, like, and was like, there were no black women that were, like, in the alliance. And, like, your alliance is who it is. But when you make it public, like, it is not okay to target, like someone, be like a black person in the game because they are black. But if there is a black alliance in the house and you make that obvious, then yes, people are going to target you, and that is what it is. So I don't, like, have any sympathy at the same time where, like, you played the game poorly and so that's why you're getting targeted here.
Right. I mean, I feel like I'm just being so repetitive in this episode. It's just because they've been so repetitive on the show of, like, showing us exactly why this alliance has been, and it's strange because they've been kind of getting, like, knocked down. And then after we see last week and then the end of this episode, still standing for the most part. So like, I don't know if it's going to get any better for them. I don't know if, you know, maybe there's a turnaround coming in the upcoming weeks. You know, I do feel like that's not where things look like they're going. It just feels like the momentum has been on the other side of things, but we are, you know, nobody can be surprised when we see that the way that the game is played out for the King's Palace.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, I don't think that Nehemiah was, like, looking for the votes. Like, I mean, I'm sure he would have loved it, but I don't think that he, like, thought that he was realistically going to, like, change any votes with his speech. But just, like, and I just don't see the surprise, because it seems to be, like, that is, I don't think we've, like, discussed it. Like, I feel like Nehemiah and Letarian, like, everyone basically are like, why is this happening? It's, like, it's pretty obvious why it's happening, guys. Like, you're openly discussing that this is an alliance.
Yeah. As far as the Casey and Kahut of it all go, I mean, like, them being in this deliberation, they really didn't, like, add a whole lot. You know, Casey was like, I'm speechless for once. Kahut was, you know, kind of trying to defend himself, which he didn't obviously need to do. And we saw he was a little hesitant when he found out that he was going to be going in, but he's like, I'm going to, you know, just trust Brad and hope for the best there. So, again, not too significant for them as far as this part of the process goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I the Casey storyline is interesting to me as a whole, more
are
so
we
than
are
any
there?
Summer
are,
sports.
I feel like we're there.
Yeah, I mean, basically all we have left is we go to elimination and it's revealed. No one will be going home because of a conversation that we had had earlier in the episode where we find out that Casey is pregnant.
Yeah, yes, she is. I need to go to her Twitter because I saw some tweets before.
Ooh.
Of her, like, describing... let me just get to it, but I don't know. Talk
I would love I the added context because... we already knew this was happened during the season that Casey was pregnant. We did not know that she was removed from the show because of that. I'm glad that she figured out herself because obviously production was not on top of it enough to be testing and figuring it out for them, which again, huge oversight, so irresponsible that this is happening over and over and over. So glad Casey took it into her own hands and figured it out. But it was weird to me in that it was presented like Casey is making the decision to not talk about it before deliberation. And so like, whoops, Kohata goes home with Casey and like it's maybe her fault because she didn't talk about it. So I have a lot of questions in terms of like what the ultimate call here was of Kohata going home too.
Yeah, so can we start with that before I get into sure. Casey of it all? Because like, what the hell?
So stupid. So it's and like... for an entertainment point of view, I'm not upset.
Yeah, no,
over
fine,
losing Kohata.
Great. It's cool. Like no big deal.
I'm good.
But,
I'm good to lose Kohata. I would rather
both
Nehemiah and Letarian be on the show than Kohata. But I mean, it's like it's explained away by like when I said that you were bonded, I mean
yeah, no,
it. And
no,
that just
but, like,
goes to show people can get eliminated without going into the. It's like, what do you mean that just goes to show? Like that,
Kendall,
like what are you talking about?
Kendall just left without her partner by her side, so that's clearly not the case.
I just was like, I feel like the clear answer here was that, unfortunately, again, we have just a male elimination, and then whoever stays keeps their partner, and the other woman is paired up with Kohata, who
it
is
just,
still in the game.
That's too, it's so obvious, it doesn't make any sense, like, why that didn't happen. I mean, it's bad enough to, like, make a decision that, like, you know, people are going to be like, what the fuck? But also like, oh, look, I cursed. But also like when you literally just last week had
yep.
Kendall go home and her partner stayed in the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
they went into
it.
Elimination.
We,
but, you know.
We have the comparison 1 week ago to go,
it's
like,
just
look
insane.
At this.
And like when you go on these shows, you sign your life away. Like you can't sue them for this, that you can't, you know, like mm-hmm. the producer's decision is final. Like no matter what, like there's no in-game mechanic that could happen that you could come at them for because of all of the things you sign before you get out there. So, you know, Kahana, he has no case to make as far as like, you know, this is, you know, wrong. Like you can't do this to me. Like they can do whatever they want to him. Mm-hmm. But if that wasn't the case, like, oh my God, the field day that you would want to have, like, suing these people, being like, what the hell?
Okay. My question is, if it were not Kohata, and it was, let's say, Nehemiah or Darrell or, like, any other big name, like, relative to this season or, like, in the franchise, are they going home or is it because it's Kohata?
Like, I mean, let's go to the most extreme example, and let me say his name for the fourth time in this podcast. Let's say that Johnny Bananas was
exactly.
tied to Casey. And Casey was getting, you know, sent home for obvious reasons here. No, they're not sending Bananas home.
no world.
No.
And let's go a step further. If next week, let's say, you know, knock on wood, this does not happen again. But like, let's find Janelle finds out she's pregnant.
Oh my
are
God.
They sending home Darrell? Or if it's Bananas, are they sending him home? Or are they contradicting themselves again and being like, well, we have a new rule. Like, I don't think so.
It's inexplainable to me. I don't understand. You know, I can't imagine anything that any of these producers would say that would make it make sense. Just in any
it's,
way. So.
It's like, I'm only laughing because like, I mean, Kohata rubbed me the wrong way last week, so, like, I don't feel bad right now. But just, like, it's wild. I cannot imagine this happening to someone else on the season. Like, MJ and that's it. Like, everyone else, yeah. like, is too important to lose in this manner.
Well, it's like, now you see why they made such a big deal of the partner selection last week with Casey and Kohata, where Kohata was, you know, where he pulled mm-hmm. Casey to the side and, you know, kind of brought her into his being on his team. And now it's like, I guess you feel a little less bad. I mean, I don't feel less bad because it's still stupid and it makes no sense. But just the fact that, like, he specifically wanted Casey. But, like, what? Like, the challenge is negligence is the right word, right? Of not having, you know, the testing done here. And again, for the 100th time, or however many times this has happened in the past couple seasons, it has happened like once every season for the past All-Star seasons and Challenge main seasons. It's insane that we're still talking about this as something that is happening like now. And the fact that, you know, the challenge, this is the challenge's fault. I'm not saying this is Casey's fault for getting pregnant, but like, this has nothing to do with Kahara, and you're sending him home. Like, this wasn't like you picked a bad partner and they got in a fight. Like, this is so insane. And
there are worlds in which Casey could have tested negative, like the day she showed up and then continued to test negative and then only reached the point at which it would show positive on a test at this point in the season. But their history is so bad with this that it happens every season that women find out that they were pregnant and had no idea while they were on the show. And we know that they are much further along than required to find out, that I am not willing to give them like any benefit of the doubt. Like, I fully believe that the show had no idea and Casey figured this out by herself.
Let me get to Casey's comments here, where what she had retweeted was Ayana had a tweet that for whatever she was, Ayana was retweeting something else. She was basically saying that she's team hashtag pregnant athletes. She says, with four kids, all my pregnancies required a different set of considerations. She's inspired by a couple women, including Casey. She tagging Casey, move how you feel you can, more listening to mamas and their voices, less judgment. Casey retweeted that saying, respect, but I'm team hashtag know you're pregnant before being forced to be a pregnant athlete. Also consider myself to be hashtag respect my mental and physical health and don't put me in this situation when I trust you with my safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pretty clearly there, they were not testing. And it's so incredibly frustrating because it's such an avoidable mistake. Like, and we also, by the way, have confirmation that Kendall tweeted out herself. She was stuck in a hotel room with COVID and that's why she couldn't come back. Not because of any injury she got, like no freak accident there. It's that like there are multiple issues with the challenge that they're not like treating their contestants with safety enough. And that's where like I even look at a challenge like this where like this week where they're like on the big rig and I'm like, of course it would be safe enough where they like hook you up into the harness and you're going to be fine. And then I'm like, but would it like the exactly. challenge? I don't trust them. I trust like every other random company that has a zip line or skydiving or whatever. I'm like, it's science. It's the percentage is so low that you are going to have like you're going to be the one person that something happens to. Mm-hmm. The challenge, it's every single season that something is happening. So like, do I trust them?
I want to keep going into like these tweets here just because, you know, this has been such a relevant topic lately and there's more conversation here. So Ayana replied to Casey saying, I hear you, but have other questions. Could forced testing be a slippery slope and have unintended consequences? False positives are not uncommon for women with some conditions. Also privacy around the results for those who may desire such things. Gamer Vev actually replied to that, who's obviously, you know, well, obviously to anybody who knows who that is, you know, one of the bigger spoilers in the challenge community, saying that I feel like that's why this hasn't been implemented yet with the type of show that that is very troubling, especially how often it happens. Big Brother and Survivor have removed contestants from the cast due to their medical results of things that have happened. And Casey said, privacy, they aren't giving anyone the results. We give the same samples for other tests they run. Also, there are HIPAA laws. I'd rather know I was pregnant and make a decision before that's best for me and my life before going on any reality show, TV show, period. And I'm sure Casey's, you know, fully not the only one who feels that way out of all the women that have gotten pulled from the game in recent years, having not known, having not had, you know, been tested, you know, before they went out there. And, you know, you feel for all of them, Casey, you know, in this particular moment here, who's basically saying, you know, that the it would have been nice to have more protection, more safety and security from the team that she was putting all, you know, when you're going on these shows, you're signing up to be in the care of these people for such a specific period of time and to be going through all these challenges, as we've said a million times, with, you know, with a pregnancy. It's just insane. I don't know.
So the two things that were brought up there were that with women with some conditions that false positives can happen. I'm not well versed. I do not know like everything by any means, but I have to assume, especially if you know that you have that condition, then like we could make mandatory testing, like if people don't want to give like their privacy, then have the option for them to opt in to testing regularly on the challenge,
Sure, yeah.
because they are already giving over, like they said, the same exact samples that are being tested for 17 other things every single season, mandated to be on the show. Then like, oh, also we're just gonna run this for you. Are you good with that? Just sign there. That's it. Like, if you have the condition where like it may result in a false positive, then you can disclose that previously if you would like to, or if not, opt out of the testing. That's
Right.
like both of those are available options to you, because you're robbing them of the chance of, like, Melissa was so pregnant that like something very bad could have happened. And knock on wood, thank God it has not happened, like for like many other people, but like it very well could have.
So I don't know. It's just like we're gonna be in here in season 38 talking about the same thing again, because it's just at this point it's not it's so it would be such a surprise if it's not something that happens again. They just have had such a consistent record with it lately, and it's wild. I don't know how we're still here, and I got nothing else for the most
No.
part.
Until I hear of like cast members being like, oh, this actually changed and like this was good, like I'm never gonna assume that it's
Yeah.
good.
So that's that. I mean, Casey does seem to be doing well. Now she's back home with her fiance, right? They're not married yet, I don't think.
I mean, at least as of this episode's, filming.
Oh wait, no, she did have the wedding. She got married.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, I remember her. She was on the podcast with Scott and Derek, and she was talking about that she had a couple of the cast members like at her wedding, so she must have had it
Aw.
after they got back.
Nice, nice.
So that's that. So yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know. I was gonna say all's well, but not really all's well, but all's kind of well there. So elimination is canceled. Casey and Kahuta are out. The Safety Palace is gonna end the show, or they don't end the show with the song, but we have a Safety Palace song now.
Yeah, look at this. The Safety Palace anthem getting its own remix.
Crazy. So that's the All Stars 2 of the week.
Yeah, I mean, overall, like for an episode that the challenge was repetitive and there was no elimination, I thought it was pretty good. Maybe that was compared to the reunion. Like, I enjoyed watching the majority of this episode, so I don't have a ton of complaints. I'm still really enjoying All Stars 2 as a season. But let's hope next week has a traditional format and less pregnancies.
And I'm excited to give All Stars like my full attention, the next couple of weeks now that 37 is over. The only challenge of the week will be on All Stars, and that's the only discussion. So we'll have a lot more, I don't know, maybe we'll have more time, I guess, to dive into what's happening. We may
Fingers
even
crossed.
have a guest with us next week, who knows?
Ooh.
We're still working on the details of all that. So that's all I got.
It's all I got as well.
Okay, bye. Anything to plug on your end?
I most recently, I believe it came out this week, was on. Did I plug this last time? I don't remember. Talked about the BoJack Horseman episode, the Christmas special, the holiday special over on BoJack HorsePod. That was a lot of fun talking to Kirsten and Lindsay about an episode that I had not ever gotten the chance to watch before, and ended up being a lot of fun. So people can check that out. Otherwise, just on Twitter at Brian underscore Scally.
There you go. Still doing some stuff over on the Choir Room, the Glee podcast with myself and Amon Adwin. Recently, we had Beth Dixon join us to revisit one of the season five episodes. It was their kind of Stephen Sondheim tribute episode. I mean, it wasn't like about him, but it was a couple of his songs in there. So it's nice to do that episode, obviously with Stephen Sondheim's passing about a month ago at this point. But other than that, I don't have much else. So we will be back here next week. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to anyone who celebrates. Happy New Year. We don't have to say that now because we still have, one more week to go, right? We could still say it. Happy New Year. I don't
You
know.
can say it.
Happy,
I'm not
happy.
gatekeeping Happy New Year's till next
Is
week.
it happy or is everybody happy? I don't know.
It's a new year.
Yeah. So let's try. I don't know. You do whatever you guys want. But thank you for listening, whether you are happy or not with the new year or with anything. We'll be back next week with more Challenge All Stars 2, only Challenge All Stars 2. So until then, thank you guys for listening and take care.